Hey everyone, we're pumped to be able to share an exclusive trailer with you after the show. From Blue Wire Studios comes Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends. Narrated by fellow Blue Wire host Brandon Kelly, each episode will focus in on the historical plays and personalities that make the sport great. So stay tuned after this episode of Vegas Nation First and 10 and listen to the Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends, wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What up, Raider fans? Welcome back to Vegas Nation. First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raider news, insight, and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignor. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and we're going to be here every single Monday talking about everything Raiders related, I guess, if we have a season. I think we're going to have a season, some sort of a season. So can't wait really to get started on all that. It'll be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out. Nobody has the answers right now. But regardless, we're going to be here with you to help you get through it all on Vegas Nation First and 10. Before we get started, we got a lot to talk about today. I just want to say that we are presented today by Favor Shot.
Come on, let's go!
Welcome back, Raider Nation. This is Vinny Bonsignor, and you are listening to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all things Raiders related. You know, I'm looking at the calendar today, and lo and behold, it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks before the start of training camp. The Raiders are supposed to get started on July 28th at their new practice facility in Henderson. And if you haven't been over to that practice facility, and you can pretty much see it if you're wherever you are in Henderson, it seems, but it is beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's magnificent. I've been to a lot of NFL practice facilities, and the Raiders facility is going to be as good as it gets. It's spectacular. But that's where they're having training camp, supposedly, starting on July 28th. And usually this time of year, you know, there's an excitement level that it's hard to describe. I even get, you know, knots in my stomach a little bit thinking about the upcoming season. You know, you've been through this whole long off season that started with, you know, right after the Super Bowl, you start talking about the NFL scouting combine in freezing cold Indianapolis. That process that leads you to free agency, which is a crazy time where teams are either getting better or in some cases getting worse. Unfortunately, that takes you right to the NFL draft, which is a whole other world. A lot of excitement for that. Teams are setting their rosters, getting better. And then you get to mini camps and OTAs and rookie camps and all of that. It all leads to this point right now where all this preparation has been put in place to get the real season started. And there's an excitement level usually. But right now, I got to say, it doesn't feel the same. We know what the culprit is. It's COVID-19. And whatever you think about it, it's not going away. And in some states, it's getting worse, actually, not better. And it's interesting because I was talking to an NFL executive just the other day, and they're like, if you would have told me 4 months ago, 3 months ago, that we would be sitting here 3 weeks before the start of training camp in this position without the answers, without a remedy, without just being in the position that we are right now, I would have told you were crazy. I would have thought that we would have had a better handle on this, that we would be in a much better position to start the season, but we aren't. And that's just not the case. And as a result, there's apprehension. There's questions without answers. There's uncertainty. There's a little bit of wondering and questioning. Hey, are we doing the right thing? Just even getting this football season started. And what's interesting about that, I talked to a bunch of players last week and some NFL agents, some prominent agents who represent some big time players. And, you know, just trying to get a feel for where everybody's head is right now in terms of the level of concern for COVID-19. These guys are getting ready to start a football season. They're ready, getting ready to start training camp where there's 100 or so players and coaches and staff members, well over 100, that are working in close proximity, that are getting out on a football field, playing a physical, violent, very intimate sport. And when you're talking about proximity from player to player, like football, and what's the level of concern? And it was almost surprising to me that it was, some concern, but I had a player tell me, he's like, you know what, to be honest with you, it's not as high as you would think. We just want to get the show on the road. We want to get back to making a living, to playing the sport that we love. I talked to one agent, told me, I haven't had one player, not one of my players, and I represent a bunch of players, say to me, man, I'm really concerned about COVID-19. They just want to get the process started, at least see, you know, where it's all headed. And it makes a little bit of sense, a lot of sense, actually, when you think about it. Football players, yes, they make a lot more money than the average American, but the reality is their reality is not much different than our reality. People need to make a living. People need to make money. And football players make money by playing football, and they don't get paid unless they're actually playing. So it makes a lot of sense that players want to get back on the field to make a living. I had one player tell me, dude, on the contract that I'm on right now, which is a one-year deal, I need to have a big season this year to set myself up for another big contract. I need to be out on the field right now. Yes, I know there's concerns, but I got to start playing. And we all can understand that. We all can get that. So from the player's perspective, hey, let's get the show on the road. But somebody has to be looking out for them as well. And that's where the NFL Players Union comes into play. And they had a meeting on Friday, the heads of the union, to kind of come up and talk about a way to make this as safe as possible for the players, at least for training camp. And keep in mind, we've gone through an entire offseason in which teams have not been together since basically when they waved goodbye to each other after the last game, wherever their last game was, whether it was the Super Bowl or the 16th game of the season. The very next day, guys are getting out of town and going home. And that's the last time teams have actually been together. So there's been no conditioning program. There's been no OTAs. There's been no classroom work, like real classroom work where you're there speaking with your coaches and other players, or let alone getting on the field and putting into practice you know, what you learned in the classroom. There's been none of that. So the union is looking at it. Okay, so we're going to start a training camp with none of that behind us. How do we make sure that players are safe, A, from COVID-19, but B, that their bodies are right after not doing the kind of conditioning that they normally do? So the union came up with a plan, a proposal on how best to handle training camp. One thing, and keep in mind that everything that the players union wants to do has to be mutually agreed upon with the owners. So no matter what the union decided on Friday, the proposal that they've put together, it's going to have to be agreed upon with the owner. So we'll see where all this is headed. But I want to run by you guys some of what the union has come up with. Now, first of all, we all know that the NFL is proposing cutting preseason from 4 games to 2 games. I think that's a fair compromise. I think it gives players a chance to get out on the field and show what they're all about, especially the young players, a game-like condition. But the NFL wants to do 2 games rather than 4, but the union is saying, no. Let's just cut all 4 games entirely. We're not ready to get to that point yet. And so what they're proposing is 0 preseason games. They're also proposing cutting down the training camp roster from 90 players to 80 players. That's a lot of job loss. But the way they're thinking is, because of social distancing, they'd rather have less players than more players to have to deal with in terms of making sure players are as far apart as possible or as safely as apart as possible. And by reducing the numbers, they feel like they can get there. Now, training camp will start on July 28th, but the way the union is proposing it, those first 3 days will just be medical stuff, getting tested, obviously, for COVID-19, getting your equipment in order. That would follow a 21-day period where it's literally just conditioning and training. There's probably not even going to be a football out there, actually play with. It's going to be like if you played high school football, kind of like Hell Week, where you're just focused on conditioning, which makes some sense because they haven't had that this offseason. So they want to get their players' bodies prepared for the rigors of training camp and the regular season. But there's a big caveat to that. Rather than have all 80 players in the buildings at the same time, what the union wants to do is cut that up to 20-player groups. So picture it this way. Throughout the course of a day at the facility, 20 players will come in, let's say for a morning shift, to do their conditioning. They'll leave the building. Presumably, it'll get cleaned up. And then 20 more players will come in. And then 20 more players after that. So you get the picture. That's for the first 21 days of training camp. After that, that number 20 will double to 40. And what the union is proposing in that scenario is a series of 10 days of practices, no pads, just unpadded practices, 10 of them. But basically what you're looking at is, again, a shift. You have 40 players come in for half of the day probably, and then 40 players, the rest of the remaining roster comes in after that. So that's a completely different look to what we're normally used to. Finally, under the union's proposal, you'll have 10 days of practices that lead up to the season opener, 8 of which will be in pads. I got to tell you guys, having covered the NFL as long as I have, that is a completely different training camp world than what anybody is used to. You're basically saying, the union is, and I get why they're doing what they're doing, but they're basically saying, we're going to have 8 padded practices with all 82 players, with all the entire team, before the season opener. And then, of course, there's going to be cuts to get it down to the 55-man regular season roster. But I'll tell you what, man, this is really, really a unusual situation. Now, again, the players' union and the NFL owners have to agree upon that. And at some point, coaches are going to get involved. And I've talked to some coaches, and they're like, wow. Because keep in mind, coaches control every second of training camp. Don't make any mistake on who's in control at that point. The general manager puts the team together with, you know, obviously input from coaches. You know, practice schedules are set, and you're working with your, you know, marketing department because you want the fans involved. Well, fans aren't going to be involved in here. The point being is coaches control every minute of training camp, every minute. And now they're being told, no, you're not going to be controlling every minute this year. We have to work with the players' union. And so what gets hammered out is going to be really interesting. And then how the coaches have to adapt. And I've talked to some coaches. They're like, man, I haven't seen my players since January or February, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what physical condition that they're in. We've been doing all these Zoom meetings where it's teach, but I haven't actually seen them on the field. And they're ready to get started. But if you're telling coaches that this is the scenario, this is the environment that you're going to have to work with, man, that is a huge change for coaches, and they're going to have to adapt really quickly.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raiders news and analysis. I'm Vinny Monsignor. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We talked a little bit earlier about what training camp might look like, and it's quite a bit different, at least from what the players' union is proposing. Now, that has to get hammered out with the owners. But suffice to say, it's going to look a lot different than what it normally does, probably entirely different than what it usually does or look like. And coaches and players, everyone's going to have to adapt. We all are doing it in our regular everyday life. Players and coaches are going to have to do the same. But eventually, hopefully, and I'm saying that with my fingers crossed, an actual season will start at some point in September. And, you know, to the extent that fans can be involved, we're going to find out. It could be a situation where there's no fans or there's a dramatically reduced number of fans that are allowed in games. Of course, all of that is predicated on the state that each team resides in. So they're going to have to follow the rules and regulations. But we could have a case, we could have a situation where there's no fans in NFL games this year. Just get used to it. It's not going to look the same no matter what. But eventually, hopefully, I keep saying that, there's going to actually be a football season being played. And if that is the case, and I'm really hoping that it is, you know, we have to start wondering, okay, your favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders, what kind of season are they going to have? And in particular, where do they fit in the puzzle of the AFC conference, let alone the division, the AFC West. And I got to tell you, and I'm not, you know, telling any secrets here or speaking out of turn, the AFC West belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's just get that out of the way. I don't buy that they're going to be around for a decade-long run. I know how hard it is to maintain championship caliber rosters, especially considering Patrick Mahomes is going to get paid like no other here pretty soon. So that's going to throw their world, completely upside down. They're going to have to figure out a way over the long term to keep building and maintaining around Patrick Mahomes. I think they're going to have some down years along the way, but if we're talking specifically about 2020, they're not going anywhere. The Kansas City Chiefs will win the AFC West, you know, barring some unforeseen calamity. So the rest of the AFC West, the Chargers, the Denver Broncos, and your Las Vegas Raiders are essentially playing for second place. But you know what? There's something noble about that and something meaningful about that, especially now with the way the NFL is adding a seventh team to each conference's playoffs. Basically, what that means is three non-division winning teams will make the playoffs. So second place in the AFC West could be a really good place, and it could get you in the playoffs. So where do the Raiders figure into that? And I think you might be surprised where I think that they're where I think that they fit. First of all, let's talk about the LA Chargers. I think talent-wise, they're as set as any team in the division and the conference for that matter. There's nobody that has the defensive star power that the Chargers have. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Derwin James. I mean, they're loaded. However, I'm not sold on Tyrod Taylor, their quarterback. I think he's a good game manager. He did get the Buffalo Bills into the playoffs a few years ago. But if you're telling me that Tyrod Taylor has to go win some games for the Chargers this year, which he probably will have to do, I don't know if he's capable of doing that. It takes us to the Denver Broncos. Kind of a sexy pick. A lot of people seem to be on their bandwagon. I'm not one of them. Maybe I'm missing something. I think Drew Locke, their second-year quarterback, has a bright future, but I don't think he's ready yet to take that next dramatic step that they're going to need him to take to get them to second place in the division, let alone the playoffs. He started five games last year. He was good. He was okay. Nothing spectacular. Strong arm, no doubt about it. Accurate passer, but there were some issues that cropped up that happened to him in college where if you got some pressure on him, his mechanics kind of went south, his fundamentals went south, and mistakes happened as a result. I think with defenses now preparing for him specifically to defend him as their quarterback, they're going to come up with some things to really deal with the Drew Locke, and I think he's going to struggle as a result. He'll have a decent year, but I'm not sure he's going to have the kind of year that they need him to have to be the second-place team in the AFC. And that takes us to the Las Vegas Raiders. And why I like the Raiders as the second-place team, and that, you know, people are, Vinny, what are you, crazy? Going from, you know, where they were last year, 7-9, to second place in the AFC West. Well, I love quarterback continuity, and Derek Carr represents that for the Raiders. He's going into year three in John Gruden's system. 2 years under John Gruden where he threw for more than 4,000 yards. I think the Raiders did a great job improving around him. Henry Ruggs, I think, is going to make a huge difference at wide receiver. I think defensively, with all the new players that they brought in, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Malik Collins, Darius Randall, a lot of new players that I think are going to make a huge difference on that defense to at least make them competitive. I think that combined with Derek Carr, who's poised to have a huge year in year three under John Gruden and his sixth year essentially as the Raiders starter, is enough to get them those two extra wins. I believe that they're going to need to be the second-place team in the division, and that will get them in the playoffs. So I see them, surprisingly, as a second-place team in the AFC West. Remember where you heard that first.
Just get north and south. You're not Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raiders news and analysis. I'm Vinny Monsignor, your host, and I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We were talking earlier about where the Raiders fit in the AFC West puzzle. And surprisingly, and I might look like an idiot, you know, 6 months from now, but that's good. That's all good. I don't have a hard time dealing with that. It's happened before. But I've got the Raiders as a second place team. I think the Chargers are going to be third place. And I got the Denver Broncos in fourth place. That could all flip-flop. We all know that. So you know where you heard it first, and you know who to hit up if it's completely reversed from that. I'm a big boy. I could take it. But for the Raiders to get to second place, a lot of things have to happen right. One of which is a lot of young players need to step up and be productive. But I, when you look at the young players that they're going to be counting on, Trayvon Mullen, Cleveland Farrell, Damon Arnett, guys like that, I love the pedigree. Tanner Muse, Hunter Renfro. These guys came from big-time college programs, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. They'll be ready for it. This isn't anything unusual. They've been there. They've done that. They've seen big games. I think they're up to the challenge. But to me, three players in particular had to really step up for the Raiders to get to where I think they're capable of getting. And let's run through them. I think Corey Littleton, the linebacker that they got from the Los Angeles Rams, has to have a big year. He fits exactly what the Raiders wanted in a linebacker that can cover the pass, that can defend the run. He's a leader. He's played on a Super Bowl team with the Rams. He's young. He's productive. I think that he fills a huge, huge void. They were terrible at linebacker last year. I think Corey Littleton helps solve that along with Nick Kwiatkowski from the Chicago Bears, who they also got. But if Corey Littleton has a big year and does what he's capable of doing, I think that defensive dynamic changes. I also think Clelin Ferrell, their second-year defensive end from Clemson, needs to step it up. You know, they drafted him fourth overall. They knew that he wasn't that pass rush, singular guy that was going to get after the quarterback and put up all kinds of big numbers in terms of sacks. They wanted him to be a bookend defensive end that can play the run, stop the run, set the edge, and then also, as years go on, add some more pass rushing ability. When I talked to Clelin Ferrell last year after the last game of the season, the day after, I should say, he said, "I'm going home. You're going to see me in a few months. I'm going to be completely different physically, mentally. I'm ready for a big second year." And everything, all signs are pointing, all indications are that he made good on those words. He's changed his body. He's right mentally. I think he's set up for a big second year. And if he does, again, the Raiders' defensive dynamic changes as a result. When you think about, when you add him to everything they've added in terms of improvements, free agency, and draft, if he has a big year, that Raiders defense is ready to take a big step forward. But the player that, to me anyway, it all comes down to, and always comes down to the quarterback, it's Derek Carr. We talked earlier about the fact that Derek Carr is going into year three under John Gruden. The Raiders have helped him out with draft pickings of, you know, Henry Ruggs, Lynn Bowden Jr., Brian Edwards, wide receiver from South Carolina, on top of Josh Jacobs last year, who should have been the NFL Rookie of the Year running back, set a rookie record over 1,000 yards for the Raiders last year. You talk about an offensive line that, when healthy, was top 10-ish in the NFL. If that, you know, continues to be the case and they're the product of good health, the offensive line is going to be set. Darren Waller, you know, just emerged out of nowhere to become one of the better top tight ends in the NFL. Hunter Renfro, first-year player who was a weapon at slot wide receiver. You add Henry Ruggs to that equation, and all of a sudden, Derek Carr has all the tools necessary to take this offense to another level. And if he's able to do that, there's no question this can be a top five NFL offense, and this can be a team that adds two wins to their total from last year, maybe even more, and gets to second place. But for that to happen, those three players need to have big years, and Derek Carr in particular needs to take that step forward, take the reins of this offense, get them to a point where they're averaging 25 points a game or more from the 19 that they averaged last year, and put this team in a position where they're going to be a legitimate threat in the AFC West and a legitimate playoff contender in the AFC. All right, that's going to wrap things up for this week's episode of Vegas Nation First and 10. Thank you so much for being a part of this, and I hope that continues and I hope the audience grows and that we're all in this together for the rest of this year. We're going to be here every Monday. As usual, you guys know the drill. If you need to hit me up, do so at any time. I don't care what time of the day, whatever. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Vinny Bonsignor. If you want to email me, vbonsignor@reviewjournal.com. Some of you guys follow me on Facebook. That's a good place as well. But the point being, hit me up anytime. I'm here to serve you, and I'm excited about that. This has been Vegas Nation First and 10. See you next week. Have a great week. And as we look at that calendar, we're getting closer and closer to football. I can't wait.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0.
is. What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe.
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. And that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.